The queen of historical fiction, Tracy Chevalier, whose bestseller The Girl with the Pearl Earring was made into a film in 2003 starring Scarlett Johansson, is back with her 10th novel. It's the story of a character called Violet Speedwell, who lost her fiancé in the First World War and faces the fate of being, quote, a surplus woman. With me in studio is Siobhan O'Callaghan, who's been reading A Single Thread. That it's a terrible term. Even no matter how big the quotation marks you put around it are, surplus woman. It came into being effectively around the time just after the First World War, was it, Siobhan?
Well, from my brief research, it actually predates the First World War as a term or as a phenomenon. So it was sort of used in the British press in response to the 1921 census and the population, the deficit between men and women in the population as a result of the First World War. So the figure is that women, there were more, about 2 million more women, but that figure was probably overestimated in the press. So sort of a kind of moral furore launched from this, this kind of anxiety about all of these women sort of destined for the spinsterhood.
Another word that's hugely problematic.
Superfluous,
obviously.
Woman was one of the other terms used.
Superfluous.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you weren't married, you weren't needed.
So what could we even do with you?
Okay. Well, obviously, that was we're dealing with a specific point in history there, although some might argue about the current day. That's another day's work. Violet Speedwell, then. She was engaged before the First World War. She lost her fiancé in the First World War, and there were other losses as well.
Yes, she lost her fiancé and her older brother. And in a sense, has the novel begins in 1932, and these deaths still very much are, as they would be, are hang over her. So in a sense, Violet and the people around her are not only mourning and recovering from what happened during the First World War, but also mourning the future that they're in that wasn't how they expected it to be. So Violet lives with her mother, as is expected to be, and is expected to care for her mother into old age, and has kind of taken up the role of the surplus aunt. For want of a better term,
And the family story there, obviously there's great sadness in the family, not only at the loss of that potential son-in-law, but at the loss of the son as well. The family, are they in absolute mourning for effectively the 20s and the early part of the 30s were set in the 1932, you say?
Yes, well, yes and no, in that Violet's other brother does come back. So they have that complicated feeling of one brother came back and one didn't.
Yeah, and how guilty does he feel, the survivor guilt and all of that type of thing?
Yes, and also right before the novel begins, Violet's own father has died, who she was much closer to than her mother. She's a very complicated relationship with her mother, who's a difficult woman. So they have that double mourning again. That feeling of loss has been intensified then.
Right, because the father. So she's in a very grief-stricken state, really, when we meet her at the beginning of the novel, and still dealing with all of those losses and that the complications of the brother and the difficult mother-daughter relationship. But entered the Winchester Broderers. What are the Winchester Broderers?
So the Winchester Broderers are a group of women who are tasked with embroidering the kneelers in the cathedral. So for anybody who isn't quite sure what a kneeler was, as I was, it's kind of a hard block cushion for people to have a little bit of comfort on their knees when they're worshipping. So they are very skilled craftswomen, though I think mainly women.
Yeah, although because I was asking just before we came to air during the ad break there, do they still exist? And you said, oh yeah, they're still there. And I looked up the Worshipful Company of Broderers, and they did say originally Broderers were essentially male, but at this point in time, the Winchester Broderers were for the most part female.
Yeah, and Tracy Chevalier has said herself about this book that it kind of, its genesis was in a visit to Winchester Cathedral where she looked around and saw these kneelers and thought that these objects were probably the only things in the cathedral that were made by women. And this is in this repository of British and, in many senses, European history, of the grand narratives, the grand figures of history. And there are these silent figures in these beautifully ornate, but very, in a sense, functional. Well, they are works of art, but they're not elevated to the same way that the carvings would be. They're functional objects as well.
Yeah, so it's not as if these kneelers are cushions, that they don't have scenes from the Bible or scenes from history or anything like that.
Well, they actually do. They're amazing to look at. Yeah, they're really intricate and they have lots of different scenes, but they're not given the same, I suppose, space.
Status.
They're not put on display, though maybe they have been now, but at the time of the novel, they are functional objects.
They were for sitting on or they were for kneeling on. Yeah. They weren't for looking at necessarily. I suppose this A Single single thread thing is obviously it's a lovely kind of metaphor that you can already see what Chevalier might do here. And she'd written about this type of thing before in The Lady and the Unicorn, set around 15th century tapestries. But this is a very different type of work of art or work of craft.
It is, in the sense that what I think the broderies really represent is the how a work of craft, its reception and the outside perceptions of its value and purpose matter. So in The Lady and the Unicorn, I think he's a male embroiderer and it's a great tapestry. So its function is to sit in a grand house as a object of art to be looked at. Whereas for the broderers, it's kind of a silent but like steady resistance. I mean, one of the things that features throughout is that they embroider their initials on the kneelers, so they will be in the cathedral, part of the fabric of the cathedral for the next millennia.
Yeah, I suppose maybe it's closer in some ways to quilt making in the United States. Has it a similar type of function as that, and is it about groups of women, a community of women who could get together and even they're silent together, communicate with each other?
Yes, and that's very much the function of it for the protagonist, for Violet. So she, in a sense, you can see her grow and develop in how that she perceives other women around her, because she makes these really close connections through the broderers, and most of them, a lot of them are surplus women. So actually one of the head broderer, Louisa Pessel, is based on a real character, person from history, who was in charge of the Winchester Broderers, who had this amazing career where she worked with the V&A and was a scholar and really prolific embroiderer. And so in a way Chevalier has taken her and placed her as a peripheral figure in a way that she does in so many of her novels, with these real life figures.
And I don't want to get into, I mean, obviously there are stories about how these women do or don't meet potential partners, and you know that's probably best left in terms of plot to the reading itself. But do you think that Chevalier, by writing about this in the 1930s, do you think she's making a comment in any way about the position of women in contemporary society?
I think so. I mean, the cliche about historical fiction, but it's a cliche for a reason, is that it's as much about now as about the historical period. So there's no such thing as kind of an innocent view of history. It's reflected with how we view our own time period. So I think Chevalier is engaging with women and the expectations upon women's lives, particularly because there's great detail afforded to the economic conditions at the time for these women, and who had to fend for themselves in a very unforgiving economic climate that did not adapt to the fact that many women were going out into the workplace.
And does she, to what extent does she, you say it's set in 1932, is there a real foreshadowing or any foreshadowing of the events of the end of that decade and the rise of fascism?
It's in there, but it's not over-egged in a way that I appreciated, because I felt it would have been incongruent for the characters at the time. I mean, as a reader, you can't help but think about this, and the real sense is that these characters have had so much grief already, and they're kind of catapulting for another war. But then there's also a sense that because it's set in this ancient building, of continuity over time, and because Winchester Cathedral will remain standing, and so there are mentions of fascism and the rise and the events going on in Europe, but Violet is not overly concerned with them.
I know that I read one review that referred to certain very contemporary or modern idioms in the book, and then I read another interview with Tracy Chevalier saying, oh, she hates that type of thing. Did you think that the language was true to the period, if you like, of the 30s, or did you get senses of contemporary language and idiom being in there?
I'll be honest, I have very little time for the anachronism piece. I think that Chevalier does her best with the language. Is it perfectly adjusted to the time? No. Do they use outrageous slang? No, they don't. The characters speak in a way that's enjoyable to read and helps the reader connect with them.
So it didn't pull you out of the 1930s in any way?
No, I think it's a tall order sometimes that historical novelists are tasked with, in terms of this expectation that of this obsession with detail about the time. And I think that there are It's a more complex question than maybe we let on.
Yeah. Okay. So worth the read, which is what you're saying about Chevalier fans of Girl with the Pearl Earring, in straight in here?
I would say, I think for Chevalier fans and for historical fiction fans in general, this is a really rich and detailed book.
That's Siobhan Callaghan speaking to us about Tracy Chevalier's new novel, A Single Thread, which is published by HarperCollins.